talking about how to study the Bible effectively. All right? How to study the Bible effectively. Now, going back to what we just read in our scripture reading, verses 31 and 32, or 30 and 31, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, looking at verse 30 and 31, to have an effective study, okay, what is one of the things that you need to have, or the eunuch had to have, to understand the Bible effectively? Practical application now. Sorry? Well, somebody to teach him, yes, that's one of it. But I think we've gone through eight already, right? Eight of the 14 items, okay? So we said number one is to have an effective Bible study, it requires spiritual life. Okay, you need to be saved, right? That's exactly what we can see in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And what did he say? He said, "How can I?" Right? How can I? So basically, number one, we said to have an effective Bible study, you need to have spiritual life. You need to be born again to really understand exactly what the Word of God is saying. Secondly, we need to have faith, right? We need to have faith in the Bible itself. Because if we don't have faith in what in the Bible, and the Bible is a book that contains the Word of God, is it? It is not, right? It isn't, but it is the very Word of God. Okay, and which Bible has God preserved up to this day and age? We've talked about this as well. King James Version, right? It's the King James that's actually preserved, okay, in the English language. All right, so we stopped on effective Bible study requires hard work, right? So we move on to number eight, which is effective Bible study requires prayer. Requires prayer. There's no way we can understand the Bible if we're just depending on what we know, on our human intellect, right? There's no way we can understand it. And so we need to ask God's help and guidance, the Lord's help and guidance. Okay, so we need to pray. And that's exactly how we communicate with God, isn't it? We communicate with God through our prayers, and how does God communicate to us? Through the Bible, through His Word, right? And so, for us to be able to understand exactly what God is saying to us, we need to ask Him to guide us, right? So, the Bible student must trust the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding, unto his own understanding, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. R.A. Torrey said, "Prayer will do more than a college education to make the Bible, an open and glorious book." What is that key to understanding the Word? It's prayer, right? Torrey said. Charles Bridges warned, "Without this spirit of prayer, there may be attention and earnestness, yet not one spiritual impression upon the conscience, not one ray of divine light in the soul. Earthly wisdom is gained by study, heavenly wisdom by prayer. Study may form a biblical scholar. Prayer puts the heart under a heavenly tutorage and therefore forms the wise and spiritual Christian. God keeps the key of the treasure house in his own hand. we look no other heavenly, we look no other inspiration than divine grace to make his word clear and impressive. When we pray for wisdom, we are acknowledging that we don't have it. Isn't that right? We acknowledge that we don't have wisdom. When we pray for wisdom, we acknowledge our total dependency upon God. We're completely dependent upon God. And we are, in a way, humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of our mighty God, right? So earnest prayer to understand the Bible is the opposite of the spirit of pride of scholarship. And, you know, man depends on his intellect to understand the Bible. You know, if we know exactly who God is and who we are, we would know how to humble ourselves before God. And so if we acknowledge to him that we need his help and guidance, he will give it to us as he's promised. Okay? So twice in the scripture warns that God, what? Resisteth the proud and giving grace to the humble. Right? He gives grace to the humble. Okay? And so in James chapter 4, verse 6, and 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 5. Okay? So as the Bible student grows in his understanding of the scriptures and has success in applying the rules of interpretation, he is in danger of becoming self-confident, overconfident about what he said. And so he says, well, you know what? I have arrived. I've been reading his word every day all my Christian life. But really, has any man mastered the Bible? It doesn't matter whether you study the Bible or one book of the Bible or one chapter of the Bible every day. It doesn't matter. You still won't be able to master it. Right? No man truly mastered the scriptures. The Bible, as God's word, is an eternal book, okay, with endless truth. So as you grow in understanding the Bible, we all realize that knowledge is superficial, right? That there is much that lies beyond our grasp. Thus, we never come to the place where our Bible study, whereby we do not need to cry out to the author for help and understanding, because we do. We do. We need to pray before we even start reading the Bible for God to illumine our hearts and our minds so that we can understand exactly what God has for us at that time and this day and time, right? And so we need to have an effective Bible study. It requires prayer, an earnest prayer, okay? An earnest prayer. So number 9, effective Bible study requires patience and perseverance. It requires patience and perseverance. So it says in Proverbs 25 and verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out the matter. Okay? The honor of kings is to search out the matter. The Bible is the word of our eternal God, and it's not possible that we all understand it in a short time. It requires time, our perseverance, and patience in understanding the word of God. You see, we have to study the Bible with patience. It says in Luke chapter 8 in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? With patience. With patience. So persistence is essential in our Christian life. We need to be persistent. Feelings come and go, right? Feelings come and go, so the child of God must continue in the things of Christ, whether he feels like it or not. So if you've decided upon yourself that, you know what, I'm going to read the Bible regardless. I'm going to set aside half an hour or an hour of my time each day, each and every day, to read the Word of God, to study it, right? So, of course, there will be periods of time where our heart will sing and meaning of the Scripture will leap off the pages of the Bible. And guess what? It will come alive. But there were also other times where it's everything that we read is dull and dry. Even in our study of the Word of God, by the way, we must remember that we live in a body of this death, right? The body of this death in Romans 7:24. And guess what? We are affected much by our physical condition. We are affected much. If you're feeling sick, are you able to read the Word of God effectively? Right? You probably won't be able to read the Word of God effectively. You see, we are much affected by our physical condition. You know what? David spoke of such a condition in Psalms 119, verse 83. It says there, "For I am become like a bottle of the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." Right? So David was saying that he felt all dried up, like a leather bottle, because the bottle from before is leather, right? That was left over a fire. The child of God will go through times like that experientially, and we must do what David did. He said, "Yet do I not forget your statutes," right? Even if Bible study becomes monotonous and discouraging, guess what? We must keep on keeping on. We must always, always find time and make time to read the Bible. One preacher wisely said, read the Bible when you feel like it, and when you don't feel like it, read it until you do. Read it until you do. All right? So that's number 9. Number 10, effective Bible study requires paying attention to the details. Okay? Paying attention to the details. The benefit one must understand that every word of God is important. Every word of God is important in the Bible. Nothing is in here that's not important at all. Even those articles are important. Okay? So, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke even of the jots and tittles, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, which are a tiny part of the Hebrew letters, by the way. So, the wise Bible student pores over the pages of scriptures, looking at every detail, knowing that nothing is there by accident. Nothing is here by accident. God spoke it. Those people that heard it wrote it, right? They wrote it exactly as God has given them, okay? They were inspired, and so they wrote it. So, Andrew Bonar tells of a simple Christian in a farmhouse who had meditated the Bible through 3 times. This is precisely what the psalmist had done. He had gone past reading into meditation. So, do you do that? When you read the Word of God, do you go past just reading, merely reading the Word of God? Do you meditate? I said before, you need to write down exactly what the book is all about. Who is it written to? Why is it written to them? Okay? Those are the things that we need to do to be able to understand and study the Bible more effectively. So we have to pay attention to the details. All right? So number 11, effective Bible study requires obedience. Effective Bible study requires obedience. You see, the Bible is not given to us for entertainment, to be entertained. Okay? It is given that we might know and do the will of God. Right? So the person has no intention, the person who has no intention to obey God will never, never understand the Bible properly. You see, in 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You see, Peter gave two requirements for learning God's word in these two verses. First is he said there, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, right? So we must lay aside sinful things. Lay aside sinful things. And secondly, in verse 2, it says there, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So, the requirement of learning God's word is, number one, we must lay aside sinful things. We must ask forgiveness for our sins. And then we must drink in the scriptures, in verse 2 there. Drink in the scriptures. If I study the Bible, but do not obey it, and does not lay aside sinful things, guess what? I will not benefit from my study. You see, a Christian who is worldly and spiritually careless, what do we term those Christians again? Carnal, right? A Christian who is worldly and spiritually careless, who is unfaithful to the house of God, and is not busy in the work of, in the service of the Lord, will not have strong understanding of biblical truth. Isn't that true? If you don't show up in a church, okay, and meet with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you're not serving biblical, your Bible reading and Bible study is not going to be effective, guaranteed, okay? Such a one is also vulnerable to the wiles of false teachers, who by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. It is remarkable how clear, how simple, and how beautiful passages that once puzzled us become when we are brought to that place where we pray to God, I surrender my will to you unconditionally. Our surrender must not be attached with any condition. It's unconditional. Guess what? I have no will but yours. I have no will but yours. Teach me your will. That should be our prayer. You see, a surrendered will does more to make the Bible an open book than, guess what, a university education. You see, it is impossible to get the largest profit out of your Bible study until you surrender your will to God's will. So number 11, effective Bible study requires obedience. You see, don't read and study the Bible as a mere intellectual exercise. It is not an intellectual exercise to read the Bible. Okay? We're reading the Word of God to what? Why do we read the Bible, by the way? To know God's will and way. Right? To be closer to God. Right? And so we need to have our hearts right with God as well. continually ask the Lord to show you how how the Word of God can be applied to your life. It is not the other way where we apply ourselves to the Word of God. We don't fit into the Word of God. It's actually the reverse. It's the Bible speaking to us, right? And it should be applied to our life. The Bible should be profitable. Romans 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, it must be profitable for reproof, right? For correction, for instruction in righteousness. It should produce patience, comfort, and hope. It should also encourage us, admonish us not to sin, right? So that's number 11. Number 12, effective Bible study requires... Here's a big thing. Effective Bible study requires confession of sin. Requires confession of sin. You see, in Psalm 66 and verse 18, Proverbs 28 and verse 9, the carnal believer cannot understand the deep things of God. Now, how does the believer deal with the sin problem in his life? How does the believer deal with the sin in his life? That's a question, by the way. Right? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 10, let's go there, please. 1 John 1, 5 and 10. 5 to 10. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit of is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness of in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. In verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a what? A liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So, how do we deal with sin in our lives? By confession. In verse 2 there, it's in verse 9 it says there, or it says there, 5 verse, where is that now? 1 John chapter 5, oh no, it's 1:8. In chapter number 1 and verse 8, it says there, if we say we have no sin and deceive ourselves, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In verse 9, it says there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a condition there, though. What is the condition for being forgiven for our sins? Confess. Right? We need to confess. And so if there's a sin in our lives, something, a sin that we haven't actually asked for forgiveness for, it is hard for us to understand the Bible. Because we are restricting the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's some sin that's restraining the Holy Spirit, right? Effective Bible study requires humility in number 13, right? Effective Bible study requires humility. You know what? The proud person will not learn anything from the Bible. Because realizing who God is and who we are in the sight of God, that's humbling ourselves And if we do not humble ourselves in the sight of God, guess what? God will not speak through us, to us, in his word. The Bible, the believer must submit himself to God and accept which God has spoken. We must be like the Bereans do in Acts chapter 8, right? That they searched the word if these things were true. They searched the word of God if these things were true. So we must submit ourselves to God and accept what God has said. You see, they say, well, he said, God said it. What does the song go? How does it go? God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. I'll tell you this though. God said it, whether you believe it or not, it's the truth. That should settle it, whether you believe it or not. Right? And so we need to believe that the Bible is the word of God. We must submit to him, himself, and accept what God has spoken already. And we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God. In Mark 9:31, Christ told his disciples that he would be killed and would rise the third day. Mark 9:31. And this will be our last verse. Mark 9:31 says, let's read 31 and 32. 9:31 and 32 says, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. So, the humble man simply believes in God. We never question exactly what God says in his word, do we? Now, if it's not clear, we need to spend more time understanding it. And by the way, our next lesson would deal with interpreting the Bible. How do we interpret the Bible? There's a rule of interpretation, by the way, and we're going to look at that, okay? And so our goal here is to be able to study the Word of God effectively, right? How to study it effectively. And so we're going to deal with that as well.